Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two, live right here on this Tuesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. And what a second hour we have for you. We will continue to dive deep into the NCAA tournament bracket on this first night of dancing out in Dayton, Ohio. The first four underway, officially tipping off the 2024 men's NCAA tournament. But also in this second hour, we'll check in on some NFL news to start off your week. We will look back at the Players' Championship with Keith Stewart and the monumental run that Scottie Scheffler is on here as of late. All of that in this second hour, but we're not done there. Two more hours to go up until 11 a.m. Eastern time right here on the Spiz Grizz.
Got to get the people caught up on everything, which does include Major League Baseball season starting tomorrow. Oh. Heavy favorite, those Dodgers out there on the West Coast, or should I say the Far East, opening up there, what, in Korea for the Seoul series. Can't wait to get down on that one here. But we are focused also football coming up as well, because the NFL never stops, man. We get deals every single day, which is the design and right into, as we say, free agency period, which is winding up. And then we see the draft coming up shortly here. So it's a great time. 2 hours. Let's get after it.
The NFL league year in 2024 has been open for less than a full week, only 6 days. But of course, with the legal tampering window opening up 8 days ago on a Monday afternoon, that was really the full ramp up in free agency in the flurries of signings that we saw. But there will be more news even in this lull in the NFL offseason calendar over the next few weeks. We welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience here into hour number two of the Early Line on a Tuesday, Sirius XM channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the mix as well. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Because DRS, it is a little bit of a lull following the very explosive start of free agency around the National Football League, just over a month away from the 2024 NFL draft that gets underway on Thursday, April 25th. In Detroit. When we get closer and closer to the draft in the Motor City, that's when the NFL conversation will start to pick up once again following the NCAA tournament into the early going of a Major League Baseball season, but we'll still get some news around the National Football League. And that gives us a chance to bring you the news of yesterday afternoon. Chase Young, after he was traded by Washington to San Francisco midway through last season and was impactful for the 49ers on their way to a Super Bowl appearance, now has a new home in New Orleans. Young signing a one-year deal worth $13 million to join that defense in the Big Easy.
I don't mind the move here for New Orleans. I just question what New Orleans is actually doing with their team. Now, granted, you have some money to spend. You're always going to try to make your team better than it was the day before. And technically, the Saints did get better on defense. But also, from a 49ers perspective, right, you spend that third-round draft pick, you bring over Young. He was good. I mean, second half of the season, which is, I don't know, 8 or 9 games, however many he played with the San Francisco 49ers, only 2.5 sacks there built up. So he doesn't really get home. And also, you're still going to have those question marks on if that knee is going to hold up long-term. I can't fault the Saints for this move, but doesn't move the needle at all, because clearly to me in that division, I'm looking forward to the Atlanta Falcons and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah. New Orleans is an afterthought, so maybe it's a good move for them, but needle moving, not at all for me, Ben.
We will get to what it looks like in the NFC South. And a lot of these moves that you will see throughout the next few weeks are really not going to move any needles. The big moves have already happened. Those will be the impactful ones from the odds perspective. But for Chase Young, offensive or defensive rookie of the year in his opening year in the league back in 2020, he was drafted second overall out of Ohio State by Washington, and he was prolific in his rookie campaign, 7.5 sacks. And then injuries took their toll on Chase Young over the next 2 years, only played in 12 games in 2021 and 2022 combined. Last year was dealt before the trade deadline by the Commanders to the Niners, did play 16 games, now will enter the fifth year of his NFL career in New Orleans. Again, it's a beneficial signing. Is it going to move the market? Not by any means, but the market has moved, DRS, on the Saints in the span of a year. It was last offseason when New Orleans signed Derek Carr. There was optimism once again in the Big Easy. At this point last offseason, the Saints were the favorites to win the division at plus 115. And if you can win a division in the NFL, there should be optimism beyond that. An 11-1 price tied for fourth to maybe contend for a conference crown in the NFC. Of course, that did not happen for New Orleans a season ago. They did not even reach the postseason. And now with where things stack up in the NFC South, the Saints in that third spot behind both the Buccaneers and Tampa even trails the Atlanta Falcons by a pretty hefty margin as well.
And they should be. They should be, Ben. Last year, like, I took the bait. I thought New Orleans was by far the best team in the NFC South. The numbers proved it, and also such an easy schedule. I even bet the New Orleans Saints to get 10-plus victories last year because I figured, like, they don't even have to play anybody. So now this year, I look at them and say, they're not the best team in the division. They're not even the second-place team in the division. They're the third-place team in the division. We're talking about, like, can Tampa Bay recreate what they had last year? They have to do all that much. I mean, basically win 8, 9, maybe 10 games out of 17. That's what it's going to take to win that South division. But I think Atlanta is markedly better now. So as I look at the Carolina Panthers, they're an afterthought completely. But the Saints at a plus 340 price, you don't like them. That's not actually a bad price here, considering that the favorites minus 110 and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are plus 300. I'm not hanging my hat on the Saints here. I did that last year, learned my lesson. What's going to make them better this year in a division that actually got better from what they've been doing in the offseason? I can't trust the Saints. I'm not taking that plus 340. It's still the Falcons for me in this division.
Yeah, DRS, I was in the same boat as you last year, a preseason ticket on the Saints to win the NFC South. Had some life entering week 17 and 18 in that poorest division. It was the Buccaneers that won it with only 9 wins. There was a thought over the past 2 NFL campaigns that if you could get to a winning record in the NFC South, you would win the divisional title. And there was a thought, whatever team did that would be the only team out of that division of the 4 clubs to even sniff the postseason. It might not necessarily be the case, but the Atlanta Falcons, an odds-on favorite, and rightfully so, in the division. And then I think it is the Buccaneers in that second spot where New Orleans does trail. I agree with how the odds makers stack up those prices in the NFC South at this time. As we go over to the AFC West, the Raiders make an addition to their running back room. They add Alexander Mattison after he was released by the Vikings earlier this offseason. Again, not a move that's going to move the needle by any means, but the Raiders get a complimentary piece at least for Zamir White.
Yeah, not a bad move. Not a bad move at all. You take a look at Madison, who was supposed to be that lead guy after Dalvin Cook left Minnesota. It didn't work out all that well. Still a healthy guy. He'll be in the mix here. Can't fault that move. Multiple running backs. Sooner or later, one of those guys is going to get dinged up. He's a quality backup if that's what he's going to turn out to be for the Raiders.
Yep, it will be interesting to see what the Raiders do in the AFC West this season. We did get some news yesterday as well from those Atlanta Falcons. Kirk Cousins is not taking the number 8. That will remain on the back of Kyle Pitts. He is now going to be number 18 in the ATL. Some jersey news for you here on this Tuesday on the Early Line. A recap of golf's unofficial fifth major up next here on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Tuesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid, we now check in on the PGA Tour. After golf's fifth unofficial major championship last week, we look back on what we saw at the 2024 Players Championship. We do that live right here on this Tuesday on the Early Line as Keith Stewart joins us here on TEL. Keith, we appreciate the time. Hope the travels back from Ponte Vedra Beach were safe and smooth. We're glad to have you here on this Tuesday.
The travel was a lot smoother than that 18th green on Sunday when Wyndham Clark lipped out. I was holding a plus 5,500 ticket, and that was a tough pill to swallow, boys. Good morning on a Tuesday.
A bad beat for sure. Halfway down and then somehow back up. It allows Scottie Scheffler to win his second consecutive Players' Championship title, his second consecutive win on the PGA Tour. There were some questions, Keith, for Scottie to begin this year, despite being the best ball striker in the sport, on what he could do with the flat stick around the greens. It seems in the last 2 weeks, he has answered that question. A win at the Arnold Palmer Invitational by 5 strokes, and he wins the Players' Championship for the second straight season as well. How do you describe the run that Scottie Scheffler is currently on?
I think it's in the middle. To be honest with you guys, he was injured and he still won the Players, and the first guy ever to do it in 50 years. He's getting ready to do something probably pretty historic here. And as the lead up to Augusta, he's already got one green jacket that he can play very well there, and he won there by multiple shots. If he gets healthy with that neck, I think the sky's the limit, and we're gonna have to get really, really creative, because he's not going to come in with like early 2000s Tiger odds pre-tournament, but it's going to start to get pretty close, and you're going to start to see him every week, 5 to 6, you know, to one. And that, you know what, you got to get real creative on the board or bet him live. He sat there plus 1100 on Saturday night, shot 64 on Sunday, took the title. Amazing stuff.
Keith, we were expecting another major golfer last week to be in the mix here to try to win the TPC. If you're taking a look at Rory McIlroy, shot 9 under, fires a 65 opening round, like, okay, he's going to be in it, but then backed it up with a 73 and then a final round 72. What's to make of Rory McIlroy rounding into form with maybe a chance at one of these early majors like we take a look at coming up in the Masters?
I saw something last week, Donnie, that I have never seen before. Rory has always been one of the golden boys of the PGA Tour. Everyone has always been super supportive of him. The second day, walking around with his group with Victor and Jordan, Rory hits the ball in the water on 12. And I'm standing right there inside the ropes. And all of a sudden, the crowd starts heckling him. Hey, Rory, make sure you drop that in the right place. Hey, Rory, you know, don't cheat this time. I mean, no one has ever said that to Rory before. And I believe he's a caring guy. I mean, he really wears his emotions on his sleeve. I think the incidents, whether they were right or wrong, or how it all broke down on Thursday in the first round, really affected him the rest of the way. Rory's super talented. But I mean, on an emotion, I mean, a grip on your club is like a grip on your world, guys, right? Rory was unsettled, and it showed through his play all weekend.
Yeah, Rory has been the focus of the golf world in a dramatic sequence of events over the past 2 years or so. And there was some drama in his playing group, as we detailed last week in that opening round Thursday. Keith, we are in the lead up to Augusta National and the 2024 Masters. And you mentioned the prices on Scotty. He was plus 550, was Scottie Scheffler, to win the Players Championship before the tournament got underway. That was more than half the rest of the field and then some. He's already sub 5-1 to win the green jacket, which would be the second of his career at the Masters at plus 490. So as we take that early odds outlook on major championship season that starts in just about a month in Augusta, Georgia, you mentioned getting creative. How are you going to be able to, if at all, bet Scottie Scheffler to win a tournament outright?
Well, there's a couple ways you could do it. Depends on how risk averse you are, you know, how much you want to tempt fate. At the end of the day, I just start with Scottie every week like I did last week at top five. So you're going to get something around, well, it's going to lower again, but we were getting around anywhere from plus 150 to plus 200 for him for a top five. And then you look for that live market. You pick him up on Saturday night. You pick him up on Thursday afternoon if somebody gets a 5, 6, 7 shot lead. And then you take your chances. Or pre-tournament, you have to parlay him with another placement. Maybe you feel like, you know, Cam Smith is going to top 10 at the Masters, and you also feel like Rory's going to top 10 at the Masters. Take those two guys top 10, take Scotty to win. You put the three together, then you're going to get Scotty at a much higher number, and you can make some money that way. But taking Scotty straight out against all those elite players at less than 5-1, Scotty's great, guys, but he's no Tiger Woods. Sorry.
Couple more weeks here, and we're going to find ourselves going up to Augusta, Georgia. But before we get there, we got the Valspar Championship this weekend, a par 71 course, 7,340 yards. Keith, can you tell us a little bit about what we can anticipate from this golf course this weekend?
Well, it's funny, you know, they keep talking about how tough these golf courses are on the Florida swing. The Valspar, or the Copperhead course, down there at the Innisbrook Resort, might be the toughest of all of them. It's a par 71 at 7,300 yards. Now, that's long, and it gets even longer when I tell you guys on the scorecard it shows five par threes. So you get the driver out one last time, and we're still getting to 7,300 yards. The things you want to look for if you're modeling out players this week, you know, approaches over 200 yards is a big one. Also, putting these greens. These are some of the toughest greens in Florida. Same grass we dealt with last week at TPC Sawgrass, an overseed of Poa Trivialis. Super smooth. But these greens, they seem to trick the guys up a little bit. Off the tee, it's very positional. Guys have to hit a spot about 250 off the tee. A lot of dog legs. A lot of rough here, guys. They increased the height of rough last year by 3/4 of an inch, and they're doing it again this year. So small greens, 200-yard plus approaches. Watch your short game as well. Those are my three keys for this week when you start to handicap the course there at the Valspar.
Xander Schauffele, nearly a Scottie Scheffler-esque price, at least relative to the rest of the field at the Valspar Championship, plus 650, almost half of everybody else. Sam Burns, second best number at 12-1. Justin Thomas, 14-1. Jordan Spieth, 16-1. And Brian Harman, who finished in that tie for second alongside Xander Schauffele and, of course, Wyndham Clark, 19-under at the Players' Championship. Harman's price this week, 20-1. Keith, what do you make of the outright odds for this week's Valspar Championship?
The favorites at the top, it's an interesting class. I mean, Schauffele is no Scheffler. He's coming off back-to-back or two wins in a row. Schauffele hasn't won since 2022. Then you look at Sam Burns, great record here. He's an early lean for me. You have Justin Thomas, didn't make the cut last week there at the Players. Jordan Spieth, he hasn't won since 2022. Sung Jae Im, the approach game, still not there. And I said you need it here. Cam Young, Tony Finau. Tony Finau has played here a couple times, and he's missed the cut in all but one of them. For me, the early leans on the early line, Sam Burns, who I love. Five starts here, 12th to 30th, two wins and a sixth last year. Brian Harman, big game hunter. I think he's still in hunting mode. He's definitely a guy that I love here. He started the week in the high 20s. He's now down to 22. People are all over him and a great positional golfer. And here's one for you. I love the Gim Reaper this week. That's right, Doug Gim. Mm. He started the week at 60-1. He's down to 45-1, guys. Five straight top 20s. And he had good history at Sawgrass, and he still played well. So those three guys right there, my early leans, of course, on the early line.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate that, Keith. We certainly do. And it's about finding your form in these next 3 weeks. This is the final tournament on the PGA Tour in the Florida swing. Then we go to Houston, San Antonio, and then stroll up Magnolia Lane for the first major championship of this year in golf. Of course, that is the Masters. Keith Stewart, we appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us here on this Tuesday on the Early Line.
Guys, I appreciate it. It's nice to be home. And the next time I'm on the road is Augusta, Georgia.
There we go.
We love that. You can already feel the azaleas in bloom. Before we get to that, we have the madness in the NCAA tournament. We continue our region-by-region breakdown. In hour one, it was the East and the South. Now the Midwest and the West coming your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The deep dive throughout the big dance. On the first day we go dancing in Dayton, here on this Tuesday live on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie, I am Ben. So we hit the East and the South regions in the opening hour. Now to the Midwest and the West in our next two segments. We start in the Midwest where the number one seed, the Purdue Boilermakers. Their season, despite 29 wins and their second consecutive Big Ten regular season championship outright, now truly begins and will be defined by this next three-week run in the NCAA tournament. Purdue has not reached a Final Four since 1980. They are the favorites to win the East region at a plus 165 price. Only about $2 behind Tennessee, who is the two seed, at plus 360. Creighton on the three line in the Midwest region. And then Gonzaga and Kansas. DRS 5 men's college basketball programs in the history of the NCAA tournament have appeared consecutively in the NCAA tournament for at least 25 years. Gonzaga, 25 consecutive seasons as of now. Kansas, because we do not count vacated seasons based on NCAA ineligibility, has been to the Big Dance for 34 straight years, and yet neither seen all that optimistically here in the Midwest region.
No, and this is the seeding process that I thought UConn should possibly have gotten, because if we're looking overall, look, there's quality basketball teams in every region. We're not going to say that, but when we're just anticipating the path moving forward, and we talked about Purdue losing in the Big Ten championship rounds. Oh, look at that. Same old Purdue. But we still have that trust where I do think you're going to get a great effort out of Purdue on a night-to-night basis, and I have them automatically into the Sweet 16. And when they get there, let's just say they do take on a Gonzaga team. They're better than Gonzaga. I think they can move on. I actually have Purdue getting to the Elite Eight and then getting upset at that time. So if we're asking ourselves, what is a positive for Purdue? Obviously, they want to win the championship, Ben, and cut down the nets. Do they want to get to the Final Four? Yes. But I think everybody's just saying, just get them through the Sweet 16, because that's where the issue has been. Once they get past there, you take that psychological downfall that they had the past couple years. Yeah. So you know what? We're finally here. We're supposed to be here. We're the number one seed. We're supposed to win this region. Can they win the region? Absolutely here. But I do think they're going to run up against a team like Creighton that can match them. Big on big. Nobody's stopping Edie. He's going to get his 25-10. It's just a matter of like guard play that can back him up at that same time. I'm looking for the upset here, and I got a good price on Creighton. That's the way I went. But from just a generality perspective on Purdue in this region, I trust them, which means nobody's going to be, oh, man, Ben, they couldn't even get the Final Four. No, if Purdue gets to the Elite Eight and loses, no shame in your game. It's hard to win championships. Otherwise, everybody every year, Ben, would be making runs left and right.
There are questions about the top three teams in this portion of the bracket in their NCAA tournament outlook. For instance, the number two seed, Tennessee, and their head coach, Rick Barnes. He has an even 500 record in the NCAA tournament, 27-27. The only time he has reached the Final Four was with Kevin Durant in 2003 at the University of Texas. Just a couple of Sweet 16 appearances in Knoxville. Creighton still has yet to play in a Final Four in its program history. Gonzaga, as consistent as you would like to it, reach C the second weekend. And of course, we know Kansas won a national championship only 2 years ago. You bring up a really fascinating point, DRS, on the Boilermakers. Success, in my mind, is a Final Four. Anything less will be seen even as a small failure. But it needs to start with a victory in the round of 64. And Purdue awaits the winner of Montana State and Grambling. That is the first game of the first four tomorrow night in Dayton. Neither of those two teams from the great Garden State of New Jersey, which is a benefit for the Boilermakers as St. Peter's knocked them out 2 years ago and, of course, Fairleigh Dickinson a season ago. But success is not beating a 16 seed for Purdue. Yes, they need to change the narrative from last year's disappointing and historic upset at the hands of FDU, but that's not it for Purdue getting to the round of 32. It needs to be the second weekend at bare minimum, and I think, Donnie, a Final Four appearance. Again, the Boilermakers have failed to reach a Final Four in 44 years since 1980, the past 43 NCAA tournaments, more than four decades. And in that span of 40-plus seasons, DRS, they've only reached the Elite Eight and fallen short in the regional final three times, most recently 2019, when they lost to Virginia, who was bouncing back from losing to a 16 seed the year prior on their way to winning a national championship.
And also, you're taking a look at a Purdue team here. Most of the time, it's guard-centric. That's really how you win in this day and age in college basketball. But you do have a throwback player in Edie, which sometimes can be very good in an NCAA tournament. The teams I'm not looking forward to betting are the teams that are saying, like, look, if our three ball doesn't go down, we can't score any other way. They're a lot of fun to begin the tournaments with because when they're hot, they can win. But we know six straight games of knocking down 40-plus percent from three-point range, Ben, at volume in different environments here, it's not going to happen, and it won't happen here. It's nice to have Zach Edey where every time down the court you have a mismatch. So if you just want to throw it on the block, turn around, layup, throw it on the block, turn around, layup, and if he's making his free throws, which he has been, let's just say at a 70% clip in March Madness, they are going to be a tough out, which means the upset shouldn't be there. This is what's so hard to fathom, Ben, over the past couple of years. Like, Edey is supposed to be upset proof. For, and I don't mean upset like, oh, they're favored by 3.5 points. Oh, they just got upset. I'm talking 15, 16, 20 point favorites because you always have that automatic, just throw it down low. Nobody can defend them. They're all 6'5 as their base, basically top big men in most of these smaller conferences here. So you don't have those throwback players like, hey, we got a guy 7'1" that can get in this way. That's not going to come till later down the line here. Purdue should cruise into at least the Sweet 16 for me here, Ben. I'm not worried about what they did the past 2 out of 3 years.
You often think that Zach Edey should be upset proof, but when things have not gone well for Purdue, last year against Fairleigh Dickinson, we saw it in the Ohio State game in Columbus, they can, in my estimation, become a little bit reliant on the big man. But the big difference is the play of Braden Smith, of Fletcher Lawyer, of the transfer from SIU, Lance Jones, and I think the glue piece for this Purdue team in Mason Gillis. I think the supporting staff outside of Zach Edey is as good as Purdue has had in quite some time. Zach Edey leads the country in points, more than 24 per game, nearly averaging 12 rebounds per game. He is going to average a double-double. He is going to win his second consecutive National Player of the Year award for the first time since Ralph Sampson was able to accomplish that for Virginia in the early 1980s. You mentioned, by the way, what a potential Purdue-Creighton game could look like in that Midwest Regional Final in Elite Eight matchup. That would take us back to the early 1980s. Zach Edey on one side for the Boilers, on the other side for the Blue Jays, Ryan Kalkbrenner. And there is a thought, Donnie, this Creighton team is going to get to that stage as well as you look at the bottom portion of the Midwest region. Why are you so optimistic about Creighton reaching that eventual goal?
Because, again, you're trying to get that runway, Ben. If you can equate it to a plane, right? Like, hey, short runway, big plane, can't take off. Well, hear this out. You're not going to get to the Final Four unless you win your first two games. So I'm not looking for that. Ooh, Ben, if they can get by this team in the round of 32. No, I need a straightforward process, and I think Creighton actually is going to have that. Creighton over Akron, they're better. They should win that game. Let's just say the matchup is Oregon, who is that standout from the Pac-12 tournament. I don't think Oregon's very good, and South Carolina will play some defense, but I do think Creighton has more offensive firepower and can get through there. If they do, they're probably going to meet Tennessee, and that's where you have your first staunch point where you say, okay, how's this going to go? But for me, I haven't been a true believer of Tennessee all year long. Quality program, yes, but also think about why we're handicapping this premises as well. If I like Creighton to get out of this region here, that's going to be a great ticket, anywhere between 25 to 30 to 1, depending on where you're shopping at that point here. So I need to see the ticket price because it's easy for me. Hey, Donnie, just take Purdue here. They're going to win it all 6 to 1, 5 to 1 price. I'm looking for a price point that matches a team that I believe that can get past the Sweet 16 and start to do some damage, and that's where I come with Creighton. Solid on defense, scoring playmakers on offense, and also the key ingredient, as we pointed out, a 7'1" player, not to go toe-to-toe with Edey, but it's not like, hey, your best center is 6'6" and is going to get absolutely dominated in the paint. Just stand there. Yeah. Make it a little bit harder on Edey, and that's where Purdue might have some issues. The price point is why I like Creighton here, and I do expect Creighton to be in the Sweet 16, which is going to help that price point for me.
And when you look at the bottom of that bracket, Tennessee will open up against the Cinderellas from a few years ago against St. Peter's. I said Kevin Durant in Texas in 03. He was a little bit later on in 07, 08 in his only year, but still Rick Barnes' only Final Four appearance as a head coach more than 2 decades ago. Tennessee 21.5-point favorite against the Fighting Peacocks. And there is a thought that Purdue's bracket at the top of the Midwest lays out well because Gonzaga has a tough test against McNeil. McNeese. The Zags, a 5.5-point favorite against Will Wade's Cowboys, and McNeese has won 30 games this year. And with Kansas and its health status and Hunter Dickinson and Kevin McCullough Jr. very much up in the air, KU, 8.5-point favorite. Line actually working in favor of the Jayhawks, Donnie, against a Samford team that can shoot the crap out of the basketball. Eighth best three-point shooting team in the country at better than 39% from beyond the arc.
Yeah, if you're betting Kansas pre-flop here in this tournament, not knowing, and it turns out everybody's healthy and ready to go, you get a great price. But also, you don't want to be that Kansas team that looked like they were so disinterested in the Big 12 tournament. And also, whether or not Kansas is full go or not, I expect, like, let's just say Gonzaga does beat McNeese. I expect Gonzaga full gas to just beat Kansas anyway at that point, which would be so fun because there is a legitimate chance. If McNeese is everything that they're cracked up to be and takes out Gonzaga, why not with that momentum probably taking out Kansas, who they're playing in the second round? That is such an interesting matchup overall, which I don't know. And again, it's that 5-12 where everybody loves the upsets. I'm trying to buck the trend this year because I actually like a lot of these five seeds here.
I loved a lot of the 12s on paper, but there's so much steam to the 12s in the betting markets that I'm almost spooking myself out. Since the field expanded in 85, 12s have beaten a 5 in 35% of those games. Now we go to the West region, up in the air and uncertain next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you look at the West region and the 2024 men's NCAA tournament, it might not look like the strongest portion of the bracket. It might seem very up in the air. In fact, the 2 seed in the West, Arizona, has a better price to win a national championship and to reach the Final Four in Phoenix than even the top team in the West region. That would be the 1 seed, North Carolina, which could allow for some chaos, for some madness, and for some uncertainty. I also think it allows for some value. So, Donnie, when you look at the West region of the 2024 Big Dance, what is the first thought that comes to your mind?
North Carolina and Arizona got gifts here because they're two teams and two conferences that I want nothing to do with in the NCAA tournament. But as Ben and I have talked about so many times, guys, when are you going to fire in who you actually want to bet? It's why we wait till Selection Sunday and see the matchups here, because maybe there's a renewed faith in that said, hey, you know what? I like North Carolina as a basketball team. I just don't think they can win or make a run in the tournament because of the matchups might be a little bit too hard to overcome. That's not the case here as I look at this region. Now, are there quality opponents and teams I think that can pull some upsets? Absolutely, I do. But if you're looking again, we always compare it to UConn saying, I'm the best team. I should have the easiest path, and I got the toughest path all the way through. So as much as a hater as you can be, money makes more sense than just hating on teams. I think there's a legitimate chance that North Carolina and Arizona can go on deep runs here in this region, Ben. So if we start for that 1-2 bracket here, I think if you're North Carolina, Arizona, you'll love the spots you're in, Ben.
Arizona is the favorite to win the West at plus 230. Again, they are the 2 seed at the bottom of this portion of the bracket. North Carolina is the 1 seed. They took the 4th and final spot on the 1 line, a plus 350 price for the Heels to get to Phoenix as well. If Arizona gets to Phoenix, there will be a home floor advantage even on that neutral site. So as we keep going through this West region, again, we bring up this point. 2 seed, better outlook than the 1 seed. Let's compare their odds to paint the path through the entirety of this NCAA tournament. North Carolina, plus 190 to reach the Elite Eight. Arizona, plus 108. Arizona to get to the Final Four, more than a dollar in front of UNC. That market has been shifting in the 48 hours since Selection Sunday. And Zona's price, Donnie, to win a national championship, the shortest we have seen it since the bracket was unveiled on Sunday night. Now, 13-1 for Arizona. They are $6 behind Purdue. There is still that big three in terms of the tournament title odds. But now $4 in front are the Cats, in front of the Tar Heels. North Carolina, 17-1 number at this current moment.
we're taking a look at, and again, you try, if you have a legitimate chance to win, I always talk about this again. I'll say it repeatedly over the next couple of days. I need a clean takeoff here. So if I'm looking at a team that goes, ooh, that round two, that's really interesting. I don't get that from Arizona. They should smash Long Beach State in their first game. Then they're going to match up against Dayton and Nevada. Quality opponents, yes, but you want to talk about athleting a team here? They would be very shocked if Arizona is knocked out early, which means they don't make it into the Sweet 16. Now, once they get there, they're going to face who I believe will be Baylor, with a legitimate chance for Baylor to knock off the higher seeded Arizona. And again, no shame in your game, but I can't take any of these teams like, oh, you know what? I think they might struggle in that round number one or struggle in round number two with the low prices I'm talking about, right? There's some long shots you're going to take. 30-1, 40-1, 50-1, 60-1. I get that. But if I'm looking at Arizona on a top billing, and I told you coming into this, I don't like the Pac-12 at all, and Arizona disappeared on a Friday night in Pac-12 play, which I didn't even know. It's like, oh, Arizona should walk through that tournament, and they got beat. I don't trust them all that much. But you telling me that Long Beach State and or Dayton and Nevada is going to knock them off, that's not going to happen here. And then you start to catch that momentum effect that goes, we're already through the round of 64. We're already through the round of 32. We're playing good basketball. Why not us here with the run to the Final Four and or maybe a national championship game? And I look at Arizona, I think they can do that. Flipping it over to North Carolina, they have a little bit tougher of a stretch run in round number two because Michigan State's going to play defense. So is Mississippi State. And you're taking a look at that pedigree here of that program in Michigan State. Nobody's going to be surprised if Tom Izzo lines up and goes, hey, by the way, Michigan State knocked off North Carolina in the round of 32. We're not going to be surprised by that, but I still think North Carolina overall is a much better team than both of those teams. But if you're asking me here, you probably would like to say, hey, North Carolina's looking down at that number two seed and go like, maybe it would have been better to be number two overall in this bracket as opposed to number one overall. It's just where it falls here at this point with the chips. But if I'm looking for a pathway to do damage, Arizona's probably got a better pathway for me.
What a round of 32 matchup we might have between North Carolina and Michigan State, two of the premier programs in the sport, two blue bloods in college basketball. And it might sound like it's just something to say, like it's just fluffy language to describe January, February, Izzo, then April. But that is what Tom Izzo has done. He has done more with less oftentimes with this Michigan State men's basketball program by the time you get to a big dance. And defense travels in March. Michigan State top 10 defense in the country, eighth most efficient. Mississippi State and Chris Jans, they can defend as well. Know the name Josh Hubbard, one of the most outstanding freshmen in all of college basketball and a lights out shooter. 130.5 is the over-under for one of the first games on Thursday to start the round of 64, Michigan State and Mississippi State. The Spartans, a minus 126 money line favorite. That 7-10 matchup, by the way, at the bottom of the West, that would be Dayton and Nevada. Nevada is the 10 seed out of the Mountain West, but actually booked as a slight point-and-a-half favorite, minus 120 on the money line. I really kind of like where Dayton stacks up. Daron Holmes, one of the best players in the country, leads the way for the Flyers. Dayton much more tested in non-conference action than Nevada. We've said this a few times, Donnie, throughout this week, the Selection Sunday special, you and I together on the Monday following Selection Sunday. The Mountain West was punished despite having six teams in the NCAA tournament for a perceived thought of a non or a weaker non-conference schedule. But the two teams that were punished were the two teams playing in the first four that had two of the three hardest non-conference schedules of the six teams that made it to the big dance. Boise State, 32nd in the country, and Colorado State, top 90 as well. San Diego State, the most difficult non-conference slate of teams from the Mountain West. If you really wanted to punish teams, Nevada might have been one of them. You could have looked at New Mexico, but they won the conference tournament, and that's why the Lobos are into the big dance as well. That's where I think the Mountain West might get exposed, Utah State and the like, despite the fact that Dayton was perceived as a little bit overseeded on that 7 line. So as we keep looking through the West region, now we go to Michigan State. 14 losses along with A&M, those 14 losses, the most for any at-large team here in the Big Dance. They have 18, does Michigan State, NCAA tournament victories since 2013 in the last 10 Big Dances. Of course, on the 7 line a season ago, they reached the Sweet 16 here in Madison Square Garden. 8-9, always a toss-up. And as we look at it, the records indicate that as well. The 8 has 74 wins in the all-time matchups against the nine. The nine has 78 wins. It is always a toss-up. It is a point and a half. I believe the largest spread in favor of a team on the 8-9 line in those matchups is actually TCU, who has the 9 seed in the Midwest, is a 3.5-point favorite over the 8 seed, Utah State.
Yeah, another Mountain West team here. But if we are looking at that round number two, and again, getting your footing under you, these teams are going to pound. The number one team should be able to pound the 16th seed. That's what the goal is. That's where you get that free win. But if you're asking me, who has the toughest round of 34, not the opponent that they're actually going to face, but between the two opponents that you don't want to see, it's got to be by far Mississippi State and Michigan State here. It really does, yeah. Because you know you're going to get that defensive game right out of the gate, and also the slingshot effect, which means if you think Mississippi State and Michigan State could be live, the winner of that game is going to be feeling even more incredible going through, where North Carolina, they won't be tested in their first game, whether it's Wagner or Howard at that point. They're going to walk through that one, so maybe not getting that test right away. And also, there's no back-to-back-to-back. Like, we take a look at NC State winning the ACC tournament, Ben, 5 straight days of playing. Yeah. Everybody now is on an even playing field. You're not waiting on a basketball team now. You're going to have at least one day of rest before they play you. So I look at that 8-9 matchup as so intriguing here for North Carolina. We know North Carolina is talented, but if I'm going to be honest with myself, and I downgraded the ACC this year by saying North Carolina is the best team in the ACC, well, they should have a problem in round number two. But did I have enough to bet that in my bracket and say I'm going to knock North Carolina? No, I didn't. But I do have Michigan State playing them, and that's going to be a nail-biter, no doubt about it, for North Carolina.
North Carolina awaits the winner of the first game in Dayton in the first four. Tonight, it is Wagner, the champions of the NEC, in Howard, making its second consecutive NCAA tournament appearance, the champions of the MEAC. Seth Towns will play for Howard tonight. He is 26 years old. He has had a very long and tenuous journey in college basketball. The Bison, a 3.5-point favorite, the total 128.5. With how slow Wagner plays, I might lean to the under, expecting the offense to be slow. But North Carolina is going to be a 21.5-plus-point favorite in either of the hypothetical matchups against the Seahawks of Wagner or the Bison of Howard. Donnie, let's go to the bottom of the West region.
Yeah.
Because I have my attention on a team, and I know you do as well. Correct me if I'm wrong. You might have a wager on the 3 seed from the West, Baylor, to make that run and represent this region in the Final Four?
I like Baylor in this, but I did not bet Baylor in this one, Ben. I took between a 60 to 71 long shot here. And look, you're a West Coast guy, Ben. You grew up in that Los Angeles area. We're not going to doubt Tupac anymore. Remember Tupac's famous song? Yeah, it's called St. Mary's, right? Come with me, St. Mary's, run quick. That's what we're betting here. And the problem is here, you're going to line up against Alabama, and that is a terrible matchup for Alabama. You want a team in Alabama that's going to get out and run, St. Mary's going to tell you, absolutely not. So if I look at St. Mary's, I think they're going to beat the Lopes in round number one. St. Mary's is going to knock off Alabama in the round of 32 and absolutely frustrate them. Come on now. Tupac said it. Tupac's writing songs about St. Mary's and the run in the 2020. I mean, the Illuminati back in the day, right? When you're talking about Tupac, all those records that he put out. I know for a fact that he had St. Mary's in 2024 making the run, and they're going to do that. Everybody out there, trust in Tupac. Trust in St. Mary's. Let's get it.
Only DRS can handicap a game in the 2024 men's NCAA tournament in such a way. Can St. Mary's get past Grand Canyon? Another trendy 5-12 pick for bettors in this tournament. GCU, a 5.5-point dog against the Gaels. I'm starting to lean with the Gaels as well, and it will be a complete opposite for Alabama in Charleston if the Crimson Tide do match up against St. Mary's in the round of 32. 172.5 is the total for Alabama and Charleston. It is the biggest over-under we have seen since the 2000 NCAA tournament, and the largest over-under by more than 4 points. Alabama can't defend worth a lick, but they can score the basketball. Second most efficient offense in the country. My long shot pick to hail from the West region into the Final Four is New Mexico, the champions of the Mountain West, ranked 22nd in the net, 23rd in KenPom, a 17-1 number. I have said this before. We have seen every year in the last 10 NCAA tournaments, a 5 seed or lower reach the Final Four. I believe New Mexico has the potential of being that team this time around. And we have seen recent 11 seeds make a run to the Final Four as well. I like the Lobos, and I think they're underseeded, not a true 11. We're back hearing from you, the public, up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ending out this second hour, live right here on a Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. In these first 2 hours, we have gone region by region around the 2024 men's NCAA tournament. A deep dive, how it shapes out, what the path is to Phoenix, Arizona for a Final Four appearance. We wanted to hear from you out there as you look at your NCAA tournament bracket, as you start to make your selections to get ready for the big dance that truly begins on this Tuesday in Dayton. Which region is most captivating to you? That was the question in Fade the Public. Now, I think there's a couple of ways you could take this question, but we asked at SportsGrid TV on Twitter, which NCAA tournament region is the most intriguing? East, Midwest, South, West. 50% of the public selected the East. When you look at the best region in the bracket, there is little doubt the East region has that distinction, and that's why half of the public said the East region is the most intriguing.
Here's what I like. Yesterday, I was one of those 6% votes in here in dead last with a UConn vote. Today, we flip it over with technically, again, a UConn vote for me, which is the East. And that's 50% here. That's where my vote went. It's the most intriguing because it is going to be an absolute battle royal just to make it to the Final Four. I can't wait to see the matchups that come out of the East here. And if UConn can prevail out of this region, they are going to wipe the floor in the Final Four with anybody left here.
So yesterday, both you and I were with the bottom of the public, only about 6% for Connecticut. So as we continue our battle royal here, I am also at the bottom of this Fade the Public poll. I think the West is actually the most intriguing. Again, the best portion of the bracket is the East region. I think the South and the Midwest are better than the West as well. So why would I say the West is the most intriguing? Because I think it could lead to the most chaos and madness. And I have the 11th seed in the West out of the West region and into the Final Four. Hour three in less than a minute.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.